Dave the Builder on KFM with Premier Timber Frame Homes, your expert guide to self-built homes. PremierTimberFrameHomes.ie.
Yeah, as we say, get those messages in to us if you've any questions for Dave McManus. Dave the Builder this morning is back in studio, and Dave, I notice you have a bigger smile than usual coming in this morning, because tell us what happened on Monday.
Yeah, so my partner in business and partner in life, Nicola, she had a baby there on Monday, you know, a little baby girl. So we're both over the moon, and she's home and everything. So we're just delighted, you know, everything's great.
Well, congratulations to you. I noticed there's some bags under your eyes there. Have you been getting up to do some feeds already?
I have indeed, Owen. I was up there, look, it was nearly every two and a half hours last night on the night feeds, you know. So, oh, look, it's great. No, don't get me wrong. And it doesn't last for long, as I well know, because of two other children as well. So I'll just embrace it as best I can, and you know, be happy, you know.
Exactly. Well, look, again, congratulations. How's the baby and Nicola doing? All good, yeah?
All great. Good. So couldn't be better now, to be honest.
Super stuff, right. Well, let's get back to business then in terms of building, Dave, and already lots of messages coming in to us, which we'll get to. But what are we talking about then today? What's the main kind of theme?
Yeah, so the main theme is basically your external and internal wall finishes, you know, and we'll be just touching on the different stuff. And I'm going to start with the inside, and it's just a few little tips and a few things I've seen over the years to help prevent different things, you know. So internally, 99% of the time is internal plasterboard along the walls, and yet then you have the choice. You can put on a skim coat, which covers all the board, or you can tape and joint it. Tape and jointing is usually done out in you know, America, New Zealand, Australia. It is coming kind of into Ireland, but typically it's a skim coat that goes on. Now, just for anybody that wants to use a timber clad inside the house, just be careful. You're not supposed to put a timber clad onto directly onto, let's say, your roof, because you don't have any fire stop. So you'd need something, a minimum of a plasterboard or even a fireboard if you wanted to go that extra mile. So you'd put on your fireboard, your fire plasterboard, and then you put your timber cladding onto that. So it's just a little tip, and it's something that could catch you out, especially in a fire, because you wouldn't have that break, and your roof could come down on top of you in a fire, basically, you know. Look, at that's kind of it. Inside stuff, I suppose, in a new build, you are going to get some settling cracks from time to time, you know. I remember when I was working in New Zealand, when we used to plasterboard the insides of the houses in New Zealand, you were never allowed to put a joint over a window or a door, because that would be the weakest point, and that's where your crack would come, you know. So if you're doing your own house, you could look into something like that, and it might prevent that type of thing happening, you know.
Yeah, because a message actually came in to say, we're a couple that moved into a new house 6 months ago. We're noticing cracks around the walls. Apparently they're, what you've said, are settling cracks. What should they do, and when is it okay to plaster over them? Because you don't want to just plaster over them and then realise, well, there's more settling cracks to come. Is there kind of a time period when you think that all of that is done?
Yeah, it is a hard one. I definitely leave it for a year. Unless the crack is really bad and it's just really annoying you, you know. About a year time, what happens is not only the settling of the foundation, but it's also the drying out of the house itself. So when the drying out stage happens, let's say with blocks or timber or anything, it can suck out the moisture, especially, let's say, if it was the winter time when it is now and the heating's up full blast for long periods, and it's contracting and it's, you know, cracking. But I'd leave the house for about a year, and that's when everything should be dried out and it should be settled enough. Now, if you're a DIY person, you know, go on to TikTok and there's loads of useful ways to do it, or your local painter. But ideally, if you have a crack that's a millimetre wide, something about you can fit at the end of a piece of paper into, you're going to have to gouge that out and fill it properly, because it'll just keep cracking if you don't fill it properly.
Right, because I know even in our house when we moved in, and up along the stairs particularly, it nearly looks like the stairs was going to come away from the wall, but it's not, obviously, but those cracks need to be filled in. We're leaving them for a little while, but after that we will eventually fill them in. I know some people said to us, you know, you could put polyfill in there if you want. You're probably better off just plastering completely again, are you?
Well, when it comes to a joint like that, so basically when your wall meets the stairs, the painter would have used something called cork caulk, so it's kind of like a, it looks like a tube of silicone, but it's especially for painting. So it could be just the case that you can cut off the old caulk and you can put in new stuff, and it'll become seamless again. And it shouldn't really happen again. But as I say, if you do have a local painter, they really do know the ins and the outs because that's their profession, you know. If it is in a corner, though, you're more likely to sort it quicker than on a flat part of the wall, you know.
Okay, Mike in Naas says, we have planning permission for a house in the Naas area. We were intending on building a timber frame house with a block finish, but after hearing you talk about render board on timber frame houses, it seems like a good idea. Is there any buildings around that the render board has been used on and has stood the test of time? Explain to us what render board is again, and then maybe take up Mike's question.
Yeah, so basically, a render board, or it has two or three different names. It's a concrete board or a cement board. It basically does the job that a block will do, and it's on the market, you know, 30 or 35 years now at the moment in Ireland alone. And basically, we put it on the outside of our timber frame structures, and the customer can then render straight onto it or plaster straight onto it, leaving the same finish as you would see on a typical block house. Now, something that stood the test of time, the City West Hotel has that render board on it. Now, the City West Hotel, from my recollection, was built in the 90s sometime. So you're talking, it's been on the City West Hotel 25 or 30 years, you know. And from the last time I was at the City West Hotel, it looked good to me, you know what I mean, even after 25 or 30 years. Also, just to note that a lot of the schools today in Ireland and the UK, because they've been built in factories rather than on site, they will have a render board on the outside of them. So schools, hospitals, not all of them, but a percentage of them would, and even your Aldis and your Lidls use that type of thing on the outside of their buildings as well, you know.
We also have another message in from Ali that says, have you ever used epoxy resin on floors throughout a house build? We're considering using it throughout our new house. What are the benefits and the downfalls of using epoxy resin?
So personally, I've never used it, but I am a big fan of it. I remember I used to see a lot of it in Australia. So the epoxy resin is actually mixed with a hardener and is poured throughout the house. I can't remember the exact depth, but you can do some really cool stuff with the epoxy resin. It's quite a hard surface, nearly like a tile, and you can put different designs through it, and you can put different bits of like fancy stone and stuff through it. So it is quite pleasing to the eye, and it's very hard wearing, and it's very easy to clean and keep hygienically clean, you know. So there's a lot of great benefits to using it, and I suppose you might think it's a little bit expensive putting it down, but if you take into account if you're going to use tiles and adhesive and labour and everything, if you start adding them up properly and comparing them, I'd say you'll probably get a better deal with the epoxy resin, you know.
Can I ask maybe a silly question? Would it be slippery? Because it kind of, I've seen it not used on floors, but I've seen it in other kind of projects, and it nearly has a sheen finish to it. Would it be possibly potentially slippy?
That is actually a good question, and because I've never used it before, I wouldn't be 100% sure, but I'd imagine that you could get it gritty at the top. From the ones I've seen anyway, there was that little bit of, you know, grip on it.
Okay, there's a voice note has come in from Mag. We'll just have a listen to what Mag has to say on the WhatsApp. She's a question for Dave.
Hi, Owen. In relation to the bit with the builder, a couple of weeks ago he mentioned a sliding door on tracks as opposed to ones that just slide differently. Anyway, I have one of them. I've had it for about 10 years and I could probably do it a service, but I don't know anybody who does that because the people who installed it are not around anymore. Would you have any recommendations for people who could service one of those patio doors that are on a track? Thank you.
All right, Dave, bringing you in on that then. Patio door on a track, where can it be serviced?
So I would recommend for that lady to Google the window doctor. So the window doctor, there's nearly one in every area. There's a window doctor that covers each county, and usually these people would have been in the door and window industry all their life. And instead of actually going out and fitting windows and doors all the time, they're after, you know, to have a different type of a number like this, going around repairing windows and doors. And yes, that particular door patio door that she's talking about could gather up dust, could gather up grease, and the little rollers on it could get a little bit harder to pull and push over time. So it could be just a matter of cleaning them rather than repairing them, but maybe one needs to be repaired as well.
Okay, another message in here says, and hope that answers the question, Mag, as well. So the window doctor is who you're looking for there. This one says, our stairs is an inch or two short in width for fire regulations. Would it cost a lot of money to get a new one? So by the sounds of it, a whole new staircase put in.
Yeah, I suppose you're going to have to get that one taken out. I'm going to presume that this is a straight flight of stairs. If it's a straight flight of stairs, you're probably going to be talking, you know, a couple of thousand. You know, I'm going to range it in at about 2,000 to get one taken out and one put back in. And that is a ballpark figure. It could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less. And you could sell your old stairs on done deal and get a few pound back out of it. But I'm going to say that that's kind of the estimate there, you know.
Okay, another one that has come in as well. Glenn from Edenderry asks, where's the best place to get a new bathroom from? Quite a broad question there, but have you got any recommendations?
Look, I suppose if he's going to do a little bit of DIY work, you know, T.J. O'Matney's is not far from Edenderry. There's also, if he wanted to get the full service, there's also Kiwi Bathrooms in outside Allen Wood there. They do a fantastic service there, and they will supply and fit, or they will just supply.
Okay, thanks for that. Another one that has come in says, can you ask Dave what his availability is to start working on a project? How much notice do people need to give you, Dave, and Premier Timber Frame Homes?
Well, this, you look at you, usually it's about between 12 and 16 weeks, but when it comes to March time, we've noticed we get a large influx of jobs in at this time of the year, and we're kind of, this is our longest kind of time to, so at the moment it's probably about 6 months, you know.
All right, and I suppose we're coming into the time now that anybody who had hopes or dreams of building a house or extension, now with the weather hopefully picking up, time is of the essence here to start working, and work is beginning. Is that right?
Absolutely. And look, there is a bit of a herd mentality here. Everyone, nobody will want to put down a deposit in December, and everyone will want to put down the deposit in around March time, and everyone is kind of funneling, you know, into the same. And like, builders will find that everyone is busy this time of year up until August, September, and nobody really wants to start anything after that. And you can see why, like, but just to get in quick after Christmas is the idea, you know.
Okay, also Marjorie has texted in to say that she doesn't want to put the blame on her husband, but she thinks he put a hole in the wall around Christmas time, and she wants to know what's the best way to repair that hole in the wall. It's plasterboard by the sounds of it, and she doesn't want to take down the whole wall. Is it easy enough to just fill that?
It is indeed. And I'm gonna relate you back to, if you can do a really good DIY job here, and you go onto YouTube or go onto TikTok, and there is, especially TikTok, there's so much content out there, you know, and they'll give you a little list of what you need, and you can go down to your local hardware, and you could potentially fix that hole in the wall for, you know, 50 or 60 quid.
All right. Is that pretty much it then? Anything else that we need to know in terms of inside or outside the house?
Look, at just external finishes. Like, there's loads of different stuff. There's external cladding you can go for. There's block, there's stonework. There's also stone cladding, and there's brick cladding. So, you know, there's loads of different options these days, and they all look great. They all have a really good warranty. And I think that's it, Owen.
Right, remind us how people can get in touch with you again, Dave.
So we're most active on social media, which would be Premier Timberframe Homes, or Instagram and TikTok is Dave at Premier Timberframe Homes. And if you want to email us directly, if you have architectural plans that you would like us to quote, info@premiertimberframehomes.ie.
Okay, we'll do it again next Thursday at the same time, just after 10 o'clock. Dave McManus of Premier Timberframe Homes, thanks for coming in to us. And again, congratulations to you and Nicola on the arrival of your new baby girl. Talk to you again next week.
Dave the Builder on KFM with Premier Timberframe Homes, your expert guide to self-built homes. PremierTimberframeHomes.ie.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
Now, the contract between the Department of Children and Integration and Manor Court Hotel in Selbridge, which currently accommodates individuals seeking international protection, is set to conclude in the coming days. This transition will see the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive taking on a new contract with the provider. KFM understands that efforts are already underway as the department arranges alternative accommodation. It's understood that the process of securing new housing options for these individuals is actively in motion, and we've seen correspondence between the department and public representatives that highlights or suggests that this contract is coming to what was described as a planned end. So this was always apparently part of the contract. Now, Paul Murphy TD recently slammed rumours that a young girl was sexually assaulted at the hotel in Selbridge. Despite the absence of any evidence, these claims led to protesters gathering outside the hotel where international protection applicants were residing. The crowd chanted slogans such as "paedophiles out" and "deport them now" and threats to burn down the building housing around 100 individuals, including women and children. Now, Gardaí and Kildare are investigating an alleged incident of physical abuse on a child by an adult known to them, and we recently reported how an investigation had been initiated following altercations at the protest in Selbridge, where members of An Garda Síochána Cona were reportedly targeted. But I'm sure you will have seen in reports in newspapers and on social media, and indeed we've covered it here as well, that those rumours that a 7-year-old girl was raped by 3 non-Irish men were not true and were unfounded. And Gardaí, as we understand it, are not investigating anything of that particular nature. What they are investigating is an alleged incident of physical abuse on a child by an adult known to them. So if we get more on that, we'll bring it to you. But the news that's coming to us today is that the contract between the Department of Children and Integration and Manor Court in Selbridge is coming to an end, and a contract is now going to be brought forward with the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive and the provider there, Manor Court. If we go to Baltinglass, locals there have taken to social media to vent their frustration and confusion after plans for a Lidl supermarket were rejected by Wicklow County Council. Well, Martin Osborne of KFM News spoke to independent councillor Gerry O'Neill to get his reaction to this news.
Well, I've been campaigning for a low-cost shopping outlet in Baltinglass for a number of years, and I'm disappointed here with the rejection on the site there in the town centre. In fact, in the last development plan, I had land rezoned on the outskirts of the town for a low-cost market. And so that's still there as such. So, as I say, all is not lost, but it's disappointing there that the effort that has been put in to the town centre has been rejected.
People have been campaigning for this for years, and according to the council, the proposed development is Zone TC Town Centre, and they went on to say that the land Zone TC are used efficiently for appropriate development. I would have assumed that a supermarket for locals would have been deemed an appropriate development, would you?
Well, I would have also. I believe that the town centre, in fact, when I went to rezone this back a couple of years ago, the land on the N81, I was told by the planners in Wicklow County Council that they preferred the town centre plan. And then when Lidl went to propose the building of this store in the town centre, and the rejection was based on density, and that it was the planners would prefer a high-rise building rather than a single-storey outlet. So I'm a little confused on that one. I know... the people of the area are very, very anxious to get the opportunity of low-cost shopping. At the moment, there are hundreds of people leave Baltinglass for stores in Kildare and also back here in Blessing, and people travel, and they would have had the opportunity there. However, as I say, it looks like maybe an appeal might go in from Lidl. I'm not quite sure of that, to the board. But if not, I think it will happen that there will be a site in Ballinasloe for low-cost shopping.
Yeah, and I do get the impression from people online that they're generally puzzled and confused and a little bit kind of shocked. Was this expected?
Well, no, I thought, you know, when at the stage where the planners were actually asking me, you know, to show more interest in developing this store within the town centre rather than on the N81 on the outskirts at Bon Oaks, I then believed at the time that the planners had more or less the town centre in mind. So I'm a little bit confused also that the site that they were actually promoting was rejected in the heel of the hunt. There is great confusion there. The facts of the matter is that, you know, hundreds of people, and I mean hundreds of people, leave Ballinasloe every week to shop outside the town, whether it be in Attie, whether it be Blessington or Tullow or whatever. And I know there would be a fear in Ballinasloe by some businesses that, you know, they would lose out. But, that's not the way it works. You know, when these low-cost shopping outlets go into a town, they keep people in the town, and other businesses thrive with the low-cost facility at home instead of the people moving out, because if they move to Attie or Blessington or wherever, they tend to do their shopping there in the low-cost store, but they also tend to spend their extra money in petrol stations and hardware stores or whatever in the town. So it would benefit everyone involved, all business units in Ballinasloe, if we got this low cost. I mean, why not? Ballinasloe now is a town that's, you know, they've got 3,000 people in the town itself. That's not even considering the outlying areas.
I know one pretty vocal campaigner who has been campaigning as far back as 2020 said the residents will be asking serious questions of the representatives, and that will come back to bite people in the local elections and the upcoming national elections. Do you think that's the case?
They should question local election candidates on their attitude, not only to low-cost shopping outlet, but other issues in the town. And I've done my best on it. So it's up to these other candidates and potential councillors to let the people know exactly what their feelings are on this.
The hope now is that this decision will be appealed to on board Planola. Are you hopeful?
Oh, I'm absolutely hopeful. Whether the appeal to board Planola goes ahead, the only thing with board Planola appeals, it can take up to 12 months. And then, you know, God only knows what their view on it might be. I know that the land that I proposed rezoning and is rezoned, I think that application is there on the table as well. So whatever the quickest application that we're sure will succeed, I'd like to see that going ahead. I'd like to see the people of Ballinasloe getting this facility as soon as possible.
Now, I was reading a piece in the Journal the other day written by the CEO of Aontus, Derville Lawless, who joins me on the line. And the opening paragraph of that piece says, education is the great leveller. The higher the level of a person's education, the stronger their prospects in quality of life, health and employment. It says, if Ireland really wants to lead the way in education, if we really want a more equal society, we need greater investment in adult learning. Derville Lawless, good morning and welcome to Kildare Today this morning.
Hi Owen, good morning, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. What prompted you to write this piece, Derville?
Do you know, it's something that's very close to my heart, having grown up in a working class community, low and parent family, all of that. And I recognise the power of education as I was growing up. And I've been lucky enough to work in Aontus and seen the amazing things that adult education does. And we've kind of been trying to get down into the nitty gritty with it and just went, you know what? There's all these amazing programs happening. There's all these new pathways. There's so much wonderful things happening. But at the end of the day, if you don't make it realistic for people to actually be able to stay in education and complete the programs without putting them through mad stress levels, it's not going to work. So So we kind of just felt we really needed to come together and make a stronger position and start a campaign around this. So here we are.
Yeah, research shows that people who go back to education through further education and training or FET courses or FETCH courses, whatever you want to call them, are more likely to have been exposed to societal inequalities and are more likely to be living in poverty. But in fairness to them, they're trying their best to go back to education. Does it just mean through the research that's been carried out, there might be more barriers in their way?
Exactly that. It's a mixture of things. So your average person in further education training is from a more diverse community. So, for example, there's over 1,000 travellers. There's over 49,000 people who are aged over 50. You have over 12,000 people with disabilities. Over 60% are women. You have people from lower income families, people who've experienced discrimination. So there's so many more people in that area in education who've come from all these different walks of life. And naturally, because of those different situations they're in, they're facing different barriers than your average person, say, for example, in higher education. And, you know, there's often this mindset that people think, oh, well, such and such in this estate or that person in that situation, they're there because they're too lazy or they won't work hard. But the fact is that people really do want to be able to make a change. People want a better life for themselves and for their families. But if there's not realistic options to be able to engage in education, you know, get qualifications and find better prospects for themselves, well, then it's not their fault. It's because we need to create better conditions.
Sometimes it takes a couple of people from a certain area to go on and set an example and be kind of like a role model for younger people and somebody where, you know, young children can look and say, well, if he could do it, then so could I, or if she could do it, so could I. But that also applies then for people, adults who want to go back to education. You know, there might be a perception out there that I'm too old or I've missed the boat or I didn't finish my leaving cert, so I'm never going to be able to go back and do that. But that's not the case.
You're dead right, Owen. Like, do you know what's heartbreaking? The one thing you'll hear from people all the time is they'll say, oh, that's not for me. Oh, I'm not very smart. I'm not book smart, or I'm not intellectual. Everybody is intelligent. We're just all good at different things. And so many people that we meet, and we meet thousands of learners every single year to conduct research to get this evidence base. And when we've talked to people, they'll often say the reason why I went back to do a course was because I wanted a job or I wanted to change jobs or whatever the situation is around employment. But the number one thing they always say the biggest impact has been is their self-esteem and confidence. And that says a lot. So there's so many people in areas like that. If you've never had someone in your family who engaged in adult education or higher education, it can feel quite alien to you. Do you know, there's a lot of people who've never walked on the grounds of a higher education institution. And that's why things like community education are so powerful, because it's somewhere in your local community run by local people. And it's that kind of open door policy. Come in, have a cup of tea, have a chat. And like that, there's leaders in your community, as you've said, come in, get to know them, realise that there's people just like you who've had similar journeys and they've found success, they've built their self-esteem. And quite often they do go on to do other things then, and then they become more influential and leaders in the community. It's amazing stuff.
Those night classes or further education and training classes can range from anything. If you think about it, there's probably a class or a course that you can do in it. And as you've touched on there, Dervil, everybody has their strengths. So even though they might think, you know, I wasn't the smartest in school, I couldn't study, I always did bad in tests, they might be very good with their hands. They might be very good practically at cooking. They might be good at building things. That's where people's strengths come into it.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing is as well, sometimes the school system just doesn't suit people. So whether it is the fact that, as you say, you could be really creative, you might have be an artist and you don't realise, or maybe you're amazing at like construction or projects or planning or problem solving. You might also just have been in a school setting that didn't suit you. Or maybe there was a time in your life that things were quite difficult, so it was really hard to concentrate. And then where you are now suits better to go back and to try that and see what you're actually good at. Like, I was awful in school, terrible. And then I did a further education training course and went, hey, do you know what? I actually love learning by myself, like independent learning. I love project management. I love going off and focusing on a specific thing. And there's so many people like that, that when they go into that setting and they're treated with respect as an adult and they're meeting people of all different ages and they're learning about themselves, it's a whole new world for them.
I know that there was the Aintus Adult Learners Festival that took place last week. I think it might be continuing as well this week, or certainly discussions have been overflowing from it and lots of positive discussions coming from it. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so the Adult Learners Festival is on this week, actually. So I'm actually sitting in my car in Edenderry, County Offaly, not too far from you, about to go to an event here in the Acorn Project. But there's 166 events running all across the country. And there's one happening in Kildare, actually, next Monday, called From the Ballot Box to Council Chamber. And it's a lecture on the inaugural Kildare County Council elections from the spring of 1899, where it was the first time women could vote in County Council elections. So even that'd be something really interesting in your locality. And then, like that I said, all the events are free. So if you log online, you can see on www.adultlearnersfestival.ie. And anybody can go to those. Like, they shouldn't be nervous. You can just pop in and say hi. And then on Friday, what day is today? Thursday, Friday. Jeez, it's been a busy week. Tomorrow, we're really lucky. We have a massive event in Croke Park. And at that event, there'll be all these amazing adult education groups. They've all been shortlisted. And they're going to come together underneath different categories. And so, for example, there's one from Maynooth University, a group nominated around third level access and engagement. And they will come in and get their chance at winning a Star Award. And our celebrity guest is PJ Gallagher. So it's a really exciting event. And I mean, it's like, as someone actually once described in a play I went to see, that it's the Oscars for community development.
Brilliant stuff. Love that. Love that indeed. Before I let you go, Dervil, if there's anybody listening to this, an adult that maybe left school or didn't do that well in school and has been contemplating for the last couple of years about going back to education, what would you say to them? Just take the plunge? Give it a try?
Exactly. I'd say jump in. It's not going to be scary. It's going to be somewhere where you're going to meet new people, make friends, find out about yourself, and you're going to improve your life circumstances in so many different ways. So to just pop over to your local centre, it could be a community ed centre, it could be an education training board, they're all across the country, and just knock in and say hello. There's free guidance counsellors all across Ireland. You have the right to go and talk to a guidance counsellor, and they'll be more than happy to invite you in and have a chat and find out what you're interested in. And the majority of those courses are completely free.
Good stuff. Well, listen, best of luck with the rest of your Adult Learners Festival. That's Dervil Lawless, CEO of Aintus, saying if we really want a more equal society, we need greater investment in adult learning. Dervil, good to talk to you, and thanks for joining us. There's loads of messages coming in on this, actually sharing positive stories of people who went back to education in later life. A listener saying that, yeah, I wasn't the best in school, didn't really like studying, I found it quite a pressurised environment. But as Dervil said, when you're able to do some independent learning and you're in charge of it, that's where I really thrived and I haven't looked back since. Another one says, I've taken up a night course only in the last couple of weeks and I'm surprised at how much I'm enjoying it. I would say to anybody who's considering it, give it a try. You have nothing to lose. A very important discussion, I think, on the programme this morning. Dervil Lawless, thanks again.